This is Sales Ops Demystified, the number one most downloaded podcast in sales operations. We invite the brightest minds in sales operations onto the show to deconstruct the why, what, and how behind rep productivity, forecasting, metrics, and all things revenue. This podcast is brought to you by Ebster, the leading customer engagement platform for Salesforce. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. We are joined by Callie Berry of Remesh. Callie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And what I'm excited about here is Callie has a wealth of sales ops experience, but both at really big companies such as Thomson Reuters, but then now at Remesh, who I believe has around 100 employees.
So
really big and also relatively small. So that's what I'm looking forward to discussing. So Callie, can you take us back to how you first got into sales operations?
Yeah. It was a long time at Thomson Reuters. I don't know if it's typical. I feel like a lot of sales ops come from either sales backgrounds or consulting backgrounds, maybe a little bit of finance. I was cold calling for about 3 weeks. I tried really hard until my boss, just after a few weeks, told me, this is not for you.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Why was that? Because he just heard you on the phone.
I was terrible at it, but every no, I hated hearing no. I couldn't handle the rejection.
Straight
to the heart. Yeah. I have a lot of sympathy for SDRs after my experience there. But I was, he was like, but you're smart and you've been organized. And so we kind of started filling in roles at this startup. That needed to be filled in, and they were kind of these ad hoc sales admin sales opsy type of roles without the actual function, a lot of RFPs and procurement process help, and I worked there after college as well, and probably about 8 months into that we were acquired by Thomson Reuters, so we got kind of sucked into the big machine of Thomson Reuters, which allowed for a lot of opportunity. We kind of really formalized the role. We expanded from just the one business unit, 30 or so sales reps and CSMs, to over my course of my time there, supporting an entire tax and technology business of hundreds of reps globally. I would say it's not a traditional or what you think of sales ops is today. Things were very siloed. We had, parts of that function in finance, parts were in operations, but very heavily on sales enablement there at Thomson Reuters. So training, general sales enablement resources, RFPs, and things like that. But I wanted to be sales operations. That's where I learned that term. I knew I wanted to do more. So I made a switch, a couple switches, and throughout my time, that's where I learned Salesforce. I started doing tool implementations at smaller companies. When you move from a large company to a smaller company, you can get hands-on. You can go from not being able to understand the engine to creating it and getting behind the scenes. So that was really great over a course of a couple of roles. Now that I'm at Remesh running, I've always kind of run the sales ops functions. And now that I'm at Remesh running sales ops, I've got a great team of a Salesforce admin and sales enablement, and about 20 sales reps. So.
Got it. So right now at Remesh, it's 20 reps. And did you say there were three of you in the sales ops team?
That's correct. Yeah.
Got it. So there's yourself, a Salesforce admin, and what's the other person?
Sales training and enablement. Yeah. So I'm taking on the role of, high level operations strategy and business intelligence.
Got it. And do you report to the COO or the head of sales?
The head of sales. Yeah.
Got it. Awesome.
Interesting. So I collect ratios between reps and ops resources. It seems like you guys are one ops to seven, just below seven salespeople, which is slightly low on the ratio. As in, the average I found is like 1 to 15. So it's nice to see that you guys are investing in sales ops.
Yeah. It was one of the really amazing things about Remesh was that really forward-thinking thought about sales ops and investing early on in sales operations. I mean, I would say like sales ops report to the head of sales, so I talk about the sales team, but I consider myself the owner of Salesforce. So I business operations really. So there are CSM teams and, you know, project management teams that are all in there. We're all working together on clients. So the ratio is probably not as good as it seems, but yeah.
Got it. And as well as Salesforce, what other sales tech are you using at the moment?
Probably too many, but so we actually just launched Outreach a little over a week ago. Great timing on that one. We have Troops, which is that Slack Salesforce integration. Our marketing team is using HubSpot. We also have Insight Squared for business analytics and DocuSign.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's not, sometimes we have people on and they list about 20 tools. So that's reasonable.
I guess I say that because if you're not using them fully, then it's too many. If you don't have time to make them hum, I guess, you know.
Exactly.
And
that's, cool. Okay. Now, looking at the relationship between you and the 20 reps, do you maintain a one-on-one relationship with each rep? Like, or do you like, how do you interface with these sales reps?
That's a good question. Remesh is, I think it has a unique culture. Everyone takes ownership of their accounts and their teams. I would say for simplicity, we try to, you know, funnel things through management, but my team in some capacity has a one-on-one relationship with everyone. We've done their onboarding through either understanding our products or understanding our tech stack or doing, you know, general sales training. And then throughout the life cycle, you know, as we're sales ops, so we see where mistakes are made. So then we sit down and we, you know, help correct and course correct there. So definitely one of them.
Got it. And can you share, if possible, a time where you guys, the sales ops team, have done something new with the reps that has made them more productive?
If I wasn't doing that every day, then I I wouldn't be doing my job right, I hope. I mean, I think the switch to Outreach that we just made is huge. There were a lot of manual tasks that they were performing, whether it was, you know, creating meetings in Salesforce for management reporting or things like that. But honestly, like anything we do in Salesforce is we're thinking about how is it making a sales rep more productive. When I started at Remesh, there was not a Salesforce admin. I became the director of sales ops, de facto Salesforce admin, sales trainer, all in one day. And the first thing I noticed was how much time was spent doing duplicate tasks, manual entry. And so I started just removing those, automating those things. And so it's only been about eight or nine months, and that's what I feel like I do every day. Like, how can I make this better? Because, you know, at the tail end of it, leadership wants data. And you don't get consistent data unless you do a little bit of automation, a little bit of data cleanup along the way.
Got it. So should we say we've doubled their productivity in 8 months? Do you think that would be fair?
Oh, I hope so. Let's say that. Yeah.
And a point, so I assume more of the team are now working remotely. Have you changed anything with the way the sales reps are working? Used new tools, got rid of tools due to the increased amount of remote work?
Yeah, we're doing, we made a big push to roll out DocuSign very, very quickly. Because of the remote work, I made sure we did retraining on Zoom. I made sure that they understood all of their settings and they had, you know, Resource Center. We built out like a data repository, like a resource center for everyone. So we're, all of the documents, all of their FAQs, all of the marketing collateral is all in one place, which seems like a no-brainer, but you know, it's harder than it sounds to actually get all of that in one place. And we're currently, you know, building flows into Salesforce to make it easier for them to get from lead to opportunity. Yeah, so a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it would have been a stressful couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and we had timed our launch of outreach right as the the self-quarantining happened. So it was a tough week, but I'm really glad that we got it out because it's definitely made a difference in their productivity.
Yeah, I mean, so you have to do the whole rollout and training remotely.
Yes, yes, all of our training. And we've had to onboard some sales reps remotely as well. So the part of our onboarding strategy includes shadowing. And that's a lot harder to do remotely. So we had to shift a lot there.
Got it. Moving on to the sales forecasting process. Are you guys doing that within Salesforce, and how what sales ops role in that process?
That's a great question. I wish it was more. I wish I had more of a role in it. I think that there's a lot of value to doing forecasting in a system, but right now we're doing both a bottoms up and a top down. So, you know, reps forecasting up to their management taking that haircut and giving up to the VP. And then we're also looking at close rates by stage, by type, and doing like a top down approach to it as well, trying to see how close those numbers are. I think there could be a lot more value in doing it systematically, understanding, you know, how accurate reps can be in that. Yeah. There's a lot of room for improvement, but.
Got it. Okay. And so when the reps are doing their bottom up analysis, are they submitting within Salesforce? You guys are taking it away and then presenting it to the VP?
Yeah, it's actually run mostly by the sales directors at this time. And it's usually very, as sales directors typically are, it's in Excel. They're very much more comfortable in Excel sometimes. So I don't fault them for it. I understand.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to submit a written request to bring that into the sales ops team and into Salesforce.
Yeah.
Okay. But I know, like, I even at Ebster, I've sometimes working with the leadership are great, of course, but sometimes they have their way of consuming and working with data, which may be the best for them, but may not be the most effective way for everyone to do it, right? But because that's how they want it, then that's how
Yeah, forecasting is definitely on my list of things to improve, bring into a system, but it's not broken. It just could be better. And so as I've tackled projects since I've started at Remesh, I've been fixing the things that are broken.
Got it. So I think this is a really important skill actually for sales ops people, because it might not be clear. You have this big list of things you can do. It might not be clear which ones you should do first. So how do you have a way that you prioritize that, or do you just decide?
You know, I try to kind of gauge the impact and the time. You know, I don't think that there's a perfect answer, to that. I do work with leadership to make sure that we are focusing on the right thing for what they need. Something that I think is a huge pain point, it's not getting me the data, may not feel like a huge pain point to the reps or to the directors. So I like to get a lot of feedback, which we actually use Remesh for, to create that feedback loop. And I try to see like what's causing them the most pain. And that's how I try to do the prioritization. But sometimes the same five different pain points actually have a single solution. You know, I had a lot of pain points around manual data entry and calendar syncing and difficulty using our old system for cadences and things like that. And the solution was to switch to outreach. It took a little bit more time, but it meant that we didn't have to piecemeal things into place. That, you know, I have a very creative Salesforce admin who could have fixed, you know, these tiny little pain points, but when you accumulate them together, it actually makes it like a bigger issue sometimes.
Yeah. Got it. And now, if you could only measure one sales metric for the rest of your career, which would you choose?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. That's a tough one. They all lead into each other. You know, I want to say how much is coming into the top of the funnel, but it could all be junk. You want to say close rate, but if you close one, you have a great close rate. So I would say activity, more specifically phone activity. I found so much of that really drives performance, especially on the SDR team. We hate the phone. We think that everyone loves text messaging and emails. No one ever answers, but the reps that are on the phone the most are actually the best performers.
Interesting. That's the first time we've had that metric.
Really?
And yeah, it is. Well, we might have had activity before, but yeah. I don't think we've had phone activity specifically. And that's interesting. So are you looking at every FDR's phone activity, like on a monthly basis?
Yeah, we track it all into Salesforce. So we know how many emails are going out, how many emails are coming back, the reply rate, and then how many calls they're making.
Got it. And then you share that with the FDR manager, who will sit down and be like, look, we need to work on our phone activity.
Yeah, it's really easy too. You just show how many calls someone's doing and their overall activity trends right next to how many opportunities they're creating. And the ones that have those hot big bars are the same on both charts. It's you don't have to really explain it.
Got it. And then do you, like, when you're working with an SDR like that, do you then sit down and show them how to do the calling? Because we know that from your days as a salesperson.
No, I am not the person. I have worked with a lot of cold call coaching in the past, like exec vision or, you know, sales left has scaled. A lot of great people out there who are way better than I am. My advice is just get on the phone. They're going to
just
say
get
no.
On the phone. There we go. That's the quote. For this episode. Cool. And then final question is, who has influenced you the most or inspired you the most in sales operations?
That's a great question. I was listening to some of the other podcasts, and it's hard because I think in a lot of sales operations, you find peers that teach you things. You find communities like Modern Sales Pros, but if I had to pick one, I'd say Sam Jacobs of Revenue Collective. I worked with him for about a year, and he taught me a lot along the way and brought in people to share best practices from his network, which was really helpful and helped us really drive our entire sales ops team forward, as well as the sales team. So.
For sure. I actually am a member of the London chapter, and so I have to shout out to Tom Gleason, who's our like lead as well, because otherwise he's gonna get upset. awesome. Well, Callie, let me just pick out a couple of things that I particularly enjoyed. The first thing I think is, like, we get quite complex activities and complex metrics, but then that one is it's a very telling leading metric, right? Just how much time have you spent on the phone? Now, let me quickly consult my notes. And then your points about how in sales operations, you can be doing loads of different things, but actually how do you leave something that isn't broken to focus on something else that can have a much bigger impact in the short term, and especially things that can fix multiple challenges, such as your example with outreach. So with that, we'll close. And thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. If you are listening on a podcast listening application, then please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you have any questions about the show, if you know a guest, or if you have any questions about sales operations, just hit me up at tomhunt@ebster.com. That's tomhunt at EFTA.com.